Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello, I'm Em, and today I'll be speaking with Kayla. Kayla was first diagnosed with breast cancer in 2005 at the age of 20, and later experienced a recurrence in 2016. We'll be speaking about how she coped with her diagnoses, as well as why she is committed to raising awareness of breast cancer. Kayla, thank you for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
To begin with, would you mind telling me a little bit about your first diagnosis of breast cancer and what it was like going through that at such a young age?
Yes, sure. As you say, I was diagnosed at 20 years old in 2005. The treatment I had was a lumpectomy to my right breast. I had 6 chemotherapy, then I had 5 weeks of radiotherapy, and then I was on tamoxifen for 5 years. Being 20, I found it quite tough. I think breast cancer is usually put in the media and the press and things as an older woman's cancer that you get. So even though I was aware of it, I probably didn't think it would happen to someone so young. I was aware that it could be breast cancer, but I didn't think it would actually be breast cancer just by how the media and everything portray it. It was very difficult being 20. I think in that time in your life, you are out partying, you're finding your feet in the world, you're in your first job, you're just enjoying life, you don't really have a lot of cares in the world. But then obviously I was chucked into going to hospital appointments, having chemotherapy, can't socialise with friends in case I catch like a cold or suffering from them when my immune system was low during chemotherapy. Just really difficult. I felt I lost quite a big chunk of my life in my early 20s when I should be out partying, having fun, and I had to stay home and have treatment. Even though it wasn't a long period of time, maybe about 9 months to a year of the initial treatment, I still felt like I'd lost quite a big part of my life, of that finding your feet and growing up and having fun type of thing. And I was kind of chucked into the deep end of having to think about if I want children, not feeling well from any treatment that I had. It was just totally different from what you should be doing at that age.
Mm. And you say it wasn't a long time, but I think a year when you are 20, that's a huge chunk of time. That is the amount that people change between 20, 21 and their early 20s. It is huge, far bigger than it would be, say, if you'd got this later on. And we will go on to talk about how this differs with your recurrence. But I think some of the things you alluded to there as well would have had a big impact on your mental health. I wonder if you would mind speaking a little about that.
Yeah, going for treatment, probably like most people that go for treatment for cancer, when you're getting it, you're just focusing on the next appointment, focusing on what's happening after that. You're just focusing, so you're not really thinking about what's actually happening to you. And then I know, like most people that go through breast cancer treatment, it's the end of it. You kind of realise what you've just been through and what's just happened. And I always felt like I had the safety net of the hospital treatments taken away from me, obviously, because your treatment's finished. So that's quite scary.
Mm.
But then the mental aspect of it, I found really difficult after treatment, just the whole fact of, oh my God, what just happened? And wow, I actually had breast cancer. That's huge. I was only 20 when that happened. Just so much stuff. And I think because it was 2005, there wasn't that much help for the mental health aspect of it back then. I did notice a difference. There was support, obviously, from Breast Cancer Now. Back then it was someone like me over the phone still, and any support groups were over the phone as well. You didn't really have the internet back then, like Facebook groups and stuff, so it was very different. So you had to kind of wait for a specific time to get help or speak to people. Like now, you could just message certain groups and stuff in the middle of the night and you'll probably have someone that can speak to you. So you're kind of left. It is a lonely thing to go through, but it was quite lonely back then, just the way the world was without the internet. And yeah, I was 20. It's lonely having breast cancer. I felt very lonely in my 20s because I didn't have anyone around me that could understand what I was going through. You don't really have people that understand what you're going through. They try. But I think because I couldn't relate to anyone else, because I was so young, that was really hard.
Mm.
And just try to kind of end up growing up really quickly, which I find very unfair. just for being so young. Like I said earlier, you're supposed to be free and happy and having fun, and I felt like it was just taken away from me. It was really, really difficult. It did take a few years, not for me to come to terms with what happened, but for me to be okay with it and kind of get my life back again.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And like you say, it must have been especially difficult having peers your age that hadn't had to deal with that, and then kind of seeing what they were doing with their lives, and then likewise you still had all these other things to deal with. And would you mind talking a little bit about your recurrence, which was 5 years ago now? So how much of had your life changed between when you were initially diagnosed and when you were diagnosed again in 2016? And were there any major differences in how you coped with treatment that second time around?
Yeah, in my life, the nice things that happened was we bought our own flat with my partner. He was a partner who I was with when I was diagnosed, and we're still together now, so that's really nice. And in 2014, we actually welcomed a little girl together, my daughter Chloe.
Ah, oh, lovely.
So that was a lovely thing to have happen in between. Obviously, being diagnosed so young, I was always aware that I might end up being able not to have kids just from the chemotherapy, but I was always told because I was 20, if my periods did go away, they'd probably come back just because I was so young. Obviously, your body can cope with things easier. And then I was always told to be careful, just like, obviously, as you're a woman, you get older, it's less likely that you're able to have children. So I had to watch not to wait too long. So before I hit 30, we decided to try for Chloe. And it happened really easily, really quickly, which was really nice because I was worried in case we would have issues with it. So we had her. That was lovely. But then, yeah, unfortunately, 2 years later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer again. It was in my opposite breast. It was triple negative this time, and it was a completely different breast cancer from the first one. Luckily, which I found really nice, the hospital I was treated at, all the staff were the same, even my surgeon and my breast care nurses. So it was really nice to go back and have the same faces, because I was always kind of in touch with my breast care nurses anytime I worried about anything, even though it was 10 years on. So that was really comforting to know it was the same people. During that time for that breast cancer, I had chemotherapy, a double mastectomy and radiotherapy. There was no hormone treatment because it was triple negative as well, so it just finished at the end of radiotherapy, which was quite nice because it made it a bit shorter treatment this time.
Mm.
I think sometimes going into second cancer and knowing what's in front of you, whereas the first time you don't know what's in front of you, I found it more scary because you knew how bad things could get, so it was kind of harder in that sense of knowing what's in front of you and what could possibly happen. Thankfully, everything's okay. It was quite hard to go through it a second time. I kind of always had a feeling. I know, obviously, as you get older, you have more chance of getting breast cancer, just being a woman and getting older. So I always kind of had a feeling that it might possibly come back at some point. I kind of hoped that maybe have a longer spell of time between it, but obviously that didn't happen. It was pretty tough, but
you would have expected, if you had expected a recurrence, you know, a little more time. Having a second diagnosis, I mean, having a first diagnosis at 30 in your early 30s would be considered very young, but having a second one at that time is almost unheard of. It's so rare. And going through that as well with a young child, I mean, both times this happened to you was at very pivotal moments in your life, so that obviously must have caused a lot of interruption.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, the first time it kind of interrupted me growing up and living my life. The second time, Chloe was 2, so even though I was here for her and I was still able to do things, it took away the happiness of having her. Obviously, you have a child, you're in a bubble, in a world, and everything's new and exciting, and 2-year-old, she's still doing lots of firsts and things, so it did bring a bit of sadness from it. But I'm also quite grateful it happened when she was 2, because she doesn't remember.
Mm.
She knows that mummy was bald because I needed medicine, because my boobs were hurting me and I had to get them taken off. So she knows that, and she sees my scars and she's fine with that, but she doesn't actually remember it, which I'm quite grateful for, because then she probably won't ever worry about it. So that's quite nice that way, whereas I wouldn't like it to happen when she was older and she totally understands what it is, because she knows that I wasn't well, but I've never actually said that it's cancer, because I didn't want her picking up cancer information somewhere else and her getting scared. So it's quite nice that she was only 2. But yeah, it took away kind of the happy, fun parts of having a toddler.
Absolutely. I can completely, understand. Not the easiest thing to have to explain to a small child what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you and she both handled that pretty well. And having gone through breast cancer twice at such a young age, so you later went on to volunteer for Breast Cancer Now. And was it because you went through this at a young age and kind of had seen so much of it, like twice already, that kind of inspired you to do something for other people as well?
Like I said before, I was diagnosed 2005 the first time. 2007, I think, is when I started volunteer for Breast Cancer Now.
Right.
It was through the Someone Like Me service, because I remember having my own person that I was speaking to phoning me and thinking, wow, that's amazing, she's so far down the line.
Mm.
Like, if she's like that, I can be like that. Mm. And I just remember the power of that. And as soon as I was coming to the end of my treatment and you had to wait a certain amount of time to volunteer, I was right in there wanting to volunteer. And I remember people from a charity that I was speaking to who were helping me thought you'd be actually really good being a volunteer because of your age, so you'd probably be able to help a lot of people. And always that kind of stayed with me as well, the power of me being so young and being able to tell my story. So yeah, definitely being able to tell my story. And just, I know the power of listening to someone that's went through the same thing, but also them being down the line a few years later, it's just, it gives you hope. And it's just something so lovely about it to have that, because you just feel so alone during your treatment that you don't think you're going to get to the end of it. It just looks like this dark tunnel that you're going down where you don't know when it's going to end. But obviously there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it does get better, and you do finish treatment, it does get easier. But just having that person beside you that completely understands you is so nice and so powerful, and helped me so much that I knew straight away that I wanted to volunteer with a charity. Once I was diagnosed the second time, I took a 4-year break just to focus on myself. I wasn't actually sure if I'd be able to come back or not to volunteer. But I think during COVID, for the lockdowns and things, I started to think about it and I felt ready to come back again. And I'm actually really glad I did, because I love it so much. There's been times where I've tried to help out and volunteer with other charities, but there's nothing like Breast Cancer Now that proper gets me wanting to help so much. It's a charity really close to my heart, and I just want to help people because they help me so much.
Mm. And it's wonderful to hear that you were able to come back during lockdown as well. I think people really needed it during that time as well. It was, it was already a very isolating thing to go through, and then to have to do that during a pandemic as well. So I know that Breast Cancer Now is really grateful for that. So thank you. And as well as your volunteering, I believe you've done some fundraising before as well.
Yeah, I've done a few fundraising things. My most memorable one that I've done was I was in the Scottish Fashion Show in 2007. That was one of my favourite, probably one of the best things I've ever done. It was just so much fun being in the fashion show, and obviously trying to raise funds. And I liked that I could be used in the media for my story to raise awareness with that as well. I really like trying to raise awareness, because obviously no one thinks that people our age get breast cancer, so I do enjoy that part of it. But yeah, I do try and raise funds for the charity. I've done quite a few things, but that's my favourite thing that I've done.
Mm. Yeah, that's so great to hear about. And I know that we always enjoy sharing people's stories, but also, yeah, having them involved with us to do that and to know that they're having fun as well is just excellent. And this year, you're actually one of our ambassadors for Wear It Pink. And I wonder if you would explain in your own words what Wear It Pink is and why you wanted to get involved in that.
Well, obviously for Breast Cancer Now, we've got the Wear It Pink Day in October to raise money for the charity. The great thing about Breast Cancer Now is obviously you've got your support, which is the only charity you can have really for just support. But also now there's the research side of it as well. So it's just raising that money that's needed to keep helping people. I think a lot of people and myself would be totally lost if we didn't have the charity. I don't know if I'd managed to have got through my both diagnoses if I didn't have the charity helping me. So it's so important to have them. I've always wanted to be involved in raising money, fundraising or volunteering in any way I can for Breast Cancer Now. It's just a charity, it's so close to my heart. It needs more awareness for younger people especially. And just people should know that they're not alone when they go through treatment, because it is such a lonely thing to go through. And I think we're in a world where social media and things, even though it's like a social platform, people are more lonely now than probably what they ever were before, because they might put things up as statuses, but then they're probably not even talking about their feelings properly. So things like the Wear It Pink Day to fundraise for Breast Cancer Now is just such an invaluable thing to have. And like I say, when I'd done the fashion show, it was fun. Wear It Pink, it's fun. You can just do these silly things or dress up pink in your work, and it's just, it's good fun. And I think sometimes, yeah, you have all the sadness and the heartache and all the hard stuff that comes with breast cancer. But personally for myself, I've had some wonderful experiences through fundraising and helping and volunteering, and even just the Wear It Pink as well. It's just fun and it's nice to help out as well.
Yeah, and it is such an easy thing to do as well. And you alluded to social media there as well. I think now that we do have social media, it's a really great way to raise that awareness just that little bit further as well, especially as, you know, not everyone might be back in the office by October. So I think it's 22nd of October that Wear It Pink will be. And even if people aren't in work at that time, they can still share it on there, which would be really great. And I'm so happy to hear that you're kind of, you know, excited to get involved in it as well. And you say, you know, there's been some good things that have come from working with Breast Cancer Now and doing your fundraising. And I wonder if you would mind speaking a little bit more broadly about what life is like for you now and how it has changed as a result of your diagnosis and your treatment.
Since my both diagnosis, physically, I don't have any breasts, but I have prosthesis, which I choose to wear sometimes, but basically I'm flat. I don't want reconstruction. I have very thin hair with a little bald patch at the back, but physically I'm okay. I can cycle to work and back. I'm in good health in that sense. Mentally, it's taken me a long time to come to terms with what happened to me. I personally recently went through some counselling. It wasn't for breast cancer due to other things, but a lot of it came out, which I didn't realise that I hadn't dealt with properly. So I am in a better place. But I realised through my counselling that I spent a lot of years not talking to people about how I felt, really. I would open up during volunteering and getting help, but I would never really speak to my friends or family about how I truly felt. And I think a lot of that comes from feeling so isolated and knowing that people don't understand. But now, because I've realised that I do talk to people and things are better now, and I feel like I've came to terms with what has happened to me. I'm not okay with it, and it has been horrible and unfair in a sense that it happened, but I can deal with it now, and it's kind of the drive to help me help other people that go through breast cancer as well.
Thank you for that. And I think this is, it's especially meaningful that you're talking to us about this now, given that it is something that you might not have spoken about to other people about in the past. So genuinely thank you for sharing this. And I think you're right in saying that you talking about it will help you, but it could also help other people as well to realize that that's something that they might need to do. And with that in mind, if there was anyone listening who has been diagnosed as a younger woman, is there anything that you would say to them as kind of encouragement, or also younger women that might not realize their risk of breast cancer?
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? The media has such a bad portrayal of breast cancer that probably a lot of younger women, even my friends, even though I've been through it twice, I don't think a lot of my friends check themselves either. So it's just being aware of your body, and it can happen to anyone at any age, at any time. Just knowing what's right for yourself, really. And if there's anything, just get it checked. But I had no idea that I had breast cancer. I thought I better get this checked just in case, and I'm so glad I did, because it saved my life. I probably wouldn't even be here today if I didn't. Yeah, just make sure you know your body and know what's right for you. I have heard a lot of stories about, because of women's age, the doctors or the GPs kind of dismiss them. So if you're at the point where you're trying to get seen, keep pushing. Like, if you know your body, you know something's wrong, keep pushing. Don't let a GP or a doctor tell you wrong or right for your own body. Just keep pushing to make sure you get checked out properly. Things do get easier, and that is the best piece of advice, because it looking back the last 10, 15 years, it's really true. Time does help. So even though it looks dark now, over time it will get a lot easier for you. And reach out to people, because I didn't for a long time. And now I know that I should have, because if I did, things would have got a lot easier for me a lot quicker. And just talk to people. Use all the help you can get. Don't feel like you shouldn't be asking for help. Don't feel like you don't want to ask for help. Just ask for help if you need it.
Fantastic. Thank you. And in a similar vein, is there something that you know now that you wish you'd been aware of before treatment?
I was thinking about this. The only thing I could think of was the first time I was diagnosed, we were told during chemotherapy to relax as much as possible. I know now from being diagnosed a second time that this is different. We're told to exercise or have some activity as much as you can. So that's so important, because I've been through treatment twice and different ways of relaxing more. And the second time I was more active. The first time it took me a long, long time to recover and get my energy back and be able to do things again. But because I was more active the second time, it took a lot quicker. Even though the treatment was harder on my body because I was older, I found like I was recovered quicker after treatment. So definitely, yes, relax if you need to, but make sure you're active also. I wish I was told that the first time, I would have recovered a lot quicker.
Mm. Thank you. That's great to know. And we've spoken to people before that have had recurrences, and we haven't actually received that insight before. So thank you for sharing that. I think that'll be really helpful. As Kayla has mentioned, there are so many ways to get involved with Wear It Pink. If you want to help raise money and awareness, search Wear It Pink and register for a free fundraising pack. Thank you very much for speaking with me today, Kayla.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.